Blog Talk Radio.
The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you cut it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
Then it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to decriminalize our marijuana.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belleville.
Welcome, everyone, to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Oh, we are having a good time here in 2010, debuting our new live show coming at you every weekday, Monday through Friday at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific time. We're so happy to have you here joining us all across this continent. We are excited about this show, and I'm telling you, folks, I've been waiting for this all my life, do live talk radio, talking to all of you across North America and around the world as we discuss marijuana law reform. It was a fantastic year in 2009. It's going to be even better in 2010. And joining us all across the state of Oregon in Astoria, my good friend Cannabis Carrie. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Russ. Happy 2010.
I know. We're having a good time in 2010, and you'll be bringing us some news stories here coming up in just a little bit, right?
Absolutely. I'm all ready for the news, and I'm ready for the new year.
Oh, yeah. We might have some technical difficulties to work out here. Sounds like we've got a bit of an echo that's coming out from your line, Carrie. We might have to switch over to the cell phone line. I'm going to mute you out there on Skype and get you in on the cell phone line instead. Just so we can have that sound a little bit better. And thanks for joining us here. We also have merged in the Normal Daily Audio Stash. Those of you who are used to listening to our daily podcast, well, this is it now. We're going to be doing it live, and you'll still be able to get it through all of your Normal Daily Audio Stash players and through your Daily Audio Stash subscriptions that you've done on iTunes and so on. So shouldn't be any sort of changes you'll need to do to be able to continue to get the best in news, information, interviews, music, comedy, and more here at Normal. We are really excited here. I think I've said that a couple times. Coming up on the show later on today, we'll be talking with Ken Wolski from the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey. He's calling in from New Jersey. They've got like 7 days left in the term of Governor John Corzine, who had indicated that he was eager to sign medical marijuana into law. The next governor coming in is Republican Chris Christie, and we're unsure if he would sign the current bill into law. So the clock is ticking. We'll talk to Ken about that, and we'll take your calls at 347-994-1810 when you're ready to talk about this. This will happen at the bottom of the hour. Other things that we're bringing over from the Daily Audio Stash podcast is going to include our daily Toker tunes. Today's tune is brought to you by Cannabis Carrie, but every day we're going to have a different tune. Monday is Roots Monday. Tuesday, Electric Tuesday for electronica, dance, and house. Wednesday, Irie Wednesday for reggae and such. Groovin' Thursday happens on Thursdays for our rap and R&B. And then on Friday, we round out the week with some good old rock and roll. So we hope you join us every day here at Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. We're going to take a short break to pay some of the bills, and when we come back, we've got your hemp headlines and more coming up here on Normal Show Live. Stick around, everyone.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, You once were just one bus away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolate gold. That's rocking with folk weed. Say what? Drink way too damn much. You get drunk. And you can all go over the game versus the puck.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their stations. They're eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinic has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org. Or 1-800-723-0188.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Two farmers in North Dakota have failed to convince a judge that industrial hemp should not be regulated under federal law because it is not technically marijuana. Wayne Hogg and David Monson were seeking a declaration that the Controlled Substance Act should not apply to hemp so they could pursue state-sanctioned cultivation of the commodity. Judge Pasco Bowman, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, wrote in his ruling that Congress had a rational basis for regulating the cultivation of cannabis plants and therefore found that the definition of marijuana to include all cannabis plants in the Controlled Substance Act should be upheld. Russ? Can you hear me?
No, my goodness. Yeah, this rational basis that the government has for regulating hemp is the fact that American cops can't tell the difference between a tall, reedy hemp plant and a short, bushy cannabis plant. Yeah, they come from the same plant species, and something that may be new to this, you might not know, but cannabis that we grow for medicine or recreational purposes is usually very closely cultivated and very caringly, caringly grown for days and days and months by many people all across this country to experience the higher THC levels. The industrial hemp that we're talking about is more of a field type of a crop with long, tall, reedy plants where the THC value in it is so low that there's no chance that anyone would ever get high off of this. And it's not as if there is a situation that is unique to America. I mean, we have countries all over the world, Australia, Canada, Czech Republic, a lot of places, China, for example, that allow the cultivation of industrial hemp, but do not allow consumer cannabis, right? So marijuana is still illegal in those countries, but hemp is not. And yet their police seem to be able to distinguish the difference between the two crops quite easily. It's a real shame because industrial hemp could be such a godsend to American farmers out there that are looking for a cash crop. It requires very little pesticides, very little in the needs of water and pesticides and fertilizers and so on. It's also a great rotational crop in that if you're a corn farmer, a soy farmer, whatever, after a while the soil tends to lose nutrients and become less fertile. Planting hemp crops in between the other crops, that is, do a corn crop, then do a hemp crop, do a wheat crop, then do a hemp crop, whatever, that type of rotation helps to build up the soil. Hemp has a very, very long taproot, and it also tends to kill off all the other weeds that would try to grow in the area because hemp grows so fast and so well. So we're denying our farmers this economic opportunity, and we're continuing to throw money away here in America by importing the hemp that we use, hemp seed and other types of hemp cloth for for clothing and so on, and hemp products as far as oils and shampoos and soaps and so on. It's ridiculous, and especially in this time when more people could use jobs and more cash crops in this country, for us to continue to turn our back on hemp. Let's go on to our next story, Carrie.
The state of Pennsylvania is facing a budget crisis like many states in our nation, and are now facing the prospect of boarding 2,000 inmates out of state because their prisons are full. One local lawmaker who serves on the Pennsylvania House Judiciary Committee is proposing that Pennsylvania should eliminate mandatory minimum sentencing for selling drugs within 1,000 feet of a school. State Representative Greg Vitale of Haverford says that the drug-free school zone law is not written in a way that attacks the problem of a person selling drugs to a minor. Someone who lives in an apartment that happens to be in a drug-free school zone would face a 2-year prison term if they got caught selling any amount of marijuana, even if it was their first conviction or they are holding down a job or supporting a family. Vitale points out that drug-free school zones cover such big parts of metropolitan areas that the law is no longer effective in targeting sales to minors. His office in Harrisburg, for example, is in 3 different drug-free school zones. Russ?
Yeah, this throws people every time we talk about it because they think that somehow a drug-free school zone is going to help the kids, and it really doesn't. Kids, year after year, when they surveyed, find about 85% of them say it's easy or fairly easy to get their hands on marijuana, and so it's obvious the drug-free school zones are not keeping it away from the kids. And the point made by the legislator is really valid here. You ought to try this sometime. I've done this on the Stash blog many times at stash.normal.org. When they have a story about these 1,000-foot school zones, I'll bring up a Google map or Google Earth. You can go download Google Earth for free and bring up a large city, you know, like Los Angeles was the last one I did. And Google Earth has this feature where you can tell it to show you where all the schools are, right? You know, check a little checkbox, and all the little schools pop up. You see a little icon for them. And then they've got another feature called the ruler where you can measure the distance between 2 points. And so what I do is I figure out, all right, here's a school. Let's figure out 1,000 feet from that school, and we'll draw a 1,000-foot circle around that school. And I do that for all the schools in a particular area. And before you know it, the entire area with the exception of a few industrial areas and places way out in the suburbs, the entire cities become covered with these circles. You can't really find a place anywhere where you can where you can find a place that's not covered by a drug-free school zone. So what this ends up doing is it ends up punishing more severely the people who happen to live in urban areas versus the people that don't live in urban areas. And lo and behold, surprise of all surprises, guess who tends to live in urban areas? People that are more poor, people with less education, people of color, and so on. So these groups, these demographic groups that are already on the short end of the stick as it comes when we talk about unjust enforcement of marijuana laws, they get doubly punished because they happen to be poor and they live in the city. The well-off suburban white folks don't have a lot of schools within 1,000 feet of their location, so they end up not getting published or getting punished as severely. This is what leads partially to this disparate enforcement of marijuana laws when we talk about the subjects of race and socioeconomic background. And so this is one of the reasons why these drug-free school zone laws need to be repealed.
And in other justice news, a Colorado judge has ruled that medical marijuana users in the state have the right to buy pot, not just use it. Arapahoe County District Court Judge Christopher Cross has sided with a Colorado dispensary suing the city of Centennial after being shut down in October. The judge said the city had violated the rights of 3 patients who had joined the lawsuit by taking away their right to a caregiver of their choice. The ruling serves as a warning to other cities who are looking at ways to ban dispensaries and might find themselves violating the constitutional rights of patients. Judge Cross says, "The voters of Colorado have spoken. It is not a criminal act in the state of Colorado." So a little good news, Russ, from the Justice Department.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Colorado is taking off, too. If you were going to pick one city in America to be the cannabis capital of the country, you'd think Los Angeles with, you know, 1,000 dispensaries that they've got down there. But on a per capita basis, Denver, Colorado actually has more dispensaries than Los Angeles, California. And of course, LA's got close to 800, 1,000, depending on reports, but they got also got about 10 million people. When we talk about Denver, you got about 500,000 people and more than 100 dispensaries at this point. So they are really taking off there in the city of Denver and all over the state of Colorado. And what a fantastic ruling here that allows people the right or recognizes the people's right to be able to purchase medical marijuana. Colorado's a special kind of situation as far as the medical marijuana states go because, of course, they passed medical marijuana as a constitutional amendment. It's Amendment 20, and that makes it a lot harder for the state and local authorities to crack down on it like they have in some of the other states. Now, as we round out the news, thank you, Carrie, for bringing us those stories. Let me get to a couple of things we want to talk about on our cannabis community calendar. This show is all about grassroots organizing and being the voice of the marijuana nation, and you can get involved. You can do something to help end marijuana prohibition, and the easiest way is to get involved with one of your local Normal chapters. If you'll check out normal.org/calendar, we have a Google Calendar up there where all of our local chapters, at least the ones that are participating so far, add their regular events to the calendar. So coming up this week, if you want to get involved in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Philly Normal will be having their open meeting on Thursday, January 7th. It's at the A Space at 4722 Baltimore Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You can also check out phillynormal.org for more details. Also on Thursday, January 7th, Kansas City Normal is at Damage Control with Primer 55. This is on 815 North Noland Road in Independence, Missouri. You can call Kansas City Normal at 888-KC-NORMAL, or you can just visit them on the web at kcnormal.org. They're getting really involved in the community there in the Kansas City area. Also, this weekend, Saturday, January 9th, Oregon Normal is having their cardholders meeting in Portland, Oregon, at the Village Ballroom at 700 Northeast Deacon Street. You have to be a member of Oregon Normal and a registered cardholder in the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. Normal staff there will help you with questions about the law, get you informed about activism, and even help you out starting your own cultivation of medical marijuana. Check them out, Oregon Normal cardholders meeting. For more details, pull up ornorml.org on the web. And finally, also on Saturday, January 9th, Normal of Waco, Inc. is having their monthly meeting. You can email Cliff, that's C-L-I-F, at normalwacoinc.org for more details, or just check out the web at normalwacoinc.org. Also, I've got a shout-out. I had an email from a listener from Southern Georgia who emailed me. He wanted to let me know that while we have a new chapter in Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia, and we have a college chapter at the University of Georgia, we're looking to expand in the Peach State, especially in Southern Georgia. If you're interested in getting involved, send me an email at stash@normal.org. Also, the students at the University of Georgia Normal are interested in helping other campuses in Georgia get involved with the Normal chapter. You can call John at the University of Georgia at 678-592-7777. That's 678-592-7777. That's John at University of Georgia if you want to start a campus chapter in the state of Georgia. And this goes for everyone around the country as well. If you're looking at starting a new Normal chapter, whether it be at your college or in your just local neck of the woods, send me an email at stash@normal.org, and I'll get you all the information you need to get started. Don't forget also you can check us out in our chat room. Visit live.normal.org for the chat information, and we'll be here every weekday, Monday through Friday, at 4 o'clock. So stay tuned. We got more stuff coming up for you. We got to take a short pause for the good cause, and I think you know what that cause might be. I'm Radical Russ Belville, your host here for Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana generation. We'll be right back after.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he smelled vagina, he would say Carolina. Did you know you're talking to that reefer man?
Helen Bell.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for NORML. In my job, I read literally headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical law. John Lucy understands and respects consumers of all grounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at 420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time to legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact NORML at NORML.org.
Which of you are ready to admit to having used marijuana in the past? And they want us to go around and ask each of you.
Senator Kerry?
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Senator Edwards?
Yes.
Senator Lieberman?
Well, you know, I have a reputation of unpopular answers. I never use marijuana. Sorry.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had.
Smoke a little pot. Drink wine.
That's right. Everything's going to be just fine here at NORML. Hey, thanks for sticking with us. I'm Radical Russ Belville, your host. I got a bit of a cold. I don't know if you can hear it, but got a little bit of a cold going here.
It's time for your daily toker tune. The best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our pop music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by PlanetFantastic.com and Bella Blue Tie-Dye Fashion. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on the Daily Audio Stash, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, I hope we got Carrie back on the line. Are you here, Carrie?
I'm here. This is Cannabis Carrie. Hey, to start the new year off, today's tune is a bluesy jazz-rich jam by Tom Morris of Memphis, Tennessee. Today's song is called Pipe Whip, and it has a nice guitar line, some funky hand drums, and a few lyrics that get lost in the grooviness. Moore started out playing in a blues punk band in a scene fostered by Memphis's fabled Antenna Club. The Antenna Club was closed over 15 years ago, but it is still celebrated as one of the first and probably the longest-lived punk-oriented venues in America. The club installed TV screens along the walls that featured rock music videos, a novelty in 1981 before MTV was born. Well, now let's get right to the tunes. This is Tom Morse and his song, Pipe Whipped. Thank you.
Some great Toker tunes here for Roots Monday, Pipe Whipped by Tom Mason. Hey, when we come back after the break, we'll be speaking with Ken Wolski from the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey. Stick around.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any policy that creates over 1 million teenage regulators needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, a.k.a. NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at normlrml.org.
Starfish Design, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Design. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hi, it's a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to NORML at NORML.org and support NORML Show Live.
I'm going to light. Roll a big bag.
NORML stands for Reforming America's Prohibitionist Marijuana Laws, and that cannot happen without directly engaging our government and elected officials. Local NORML chapters and other affiliated activists relentlessly lobby our lawmakers for change we can believe in and report on their strategies and progress in this segment we call Our Government at Work.
All right, time for our first Government at Work segment for 2010, and we're joined now from the great state of New Jersey by Ken Wolski, the Executive Director of the Coalition for Medical Marijuana in New Jersey. And Ken, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Russ.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, glad to have you back here. And first of all, let's get the web address out of the way. If you're interested in medical marijuana in the state of New Jersey, check out cmmnj.org. That's Coalition for Medical Marijuana, New Jersey, cmmnj.org. Now, Ken, you guys have been working on a medical marijuana bill for quite a long time. How long have you put into this effort?
Well, we really started the effort back in 2002 when we thought that, we had a chance to, we saw what was going on in some of the other states like California, and, we wanted to bring medical marijuana and protect patients here in New Jersey. So we've really been working on it. Jim Miller and I got together in 2002, and we formed the Coalition for Medical Marijuana in New Jersey with the express intent of bringing about medical marijuana, a medical marijuana law here in New Jersey.
Well, it's been a long fight. You've been going for 8 years, and you've finally gotten a bill that has wended its way through the Senate and the Assembly. What's the status of your bill right now?
Yeah, well, the New Jersey Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act, it was introduced in 2005, actually. So it's been in the legislature for just about 5 years now. It was not making too much progress until really President Obama got elected, I think. And then right after that, in December of 2008, the Senate passed it out of the Senate Health Committee. And then in February of this year, 2009, the entire Senate passed the bill. And, you know, that was really great cause for rejoicing. You know, that was the upper house. It was the, what we thought was going to be the real problem house. Because we thought we had the votes in the assembly to pass the bill. However, a couple months later in June, a substitute bill was passed in the assembly. It came out of the Assembly Health Committee. And that substitute bill was a lot more restrictive than the original Senate bill. So right now that we're waiting for a vote by the entire assembly on the substitute bill that came out of the Assembly Health Committee. So there really are two bills right now, and they have to be reconciled before one of them can be signed into law.
Okay. Well, we're speaking with Ken Wolski from the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey. And listeners, if you've got any calls you'd like or any questions you'd like to ask, you can call us at 347-994-1810. We'll take your calls after the next break. And, Ken, you mentioned how the bill that came out of the Assembly was a lot more restrictive than the Senate version. What sort of extra restrictions did the Assembly put into the bill?
Well, the Senate bill was already the most conservative bill in the nation. It would only allow patients with a qualifying condition to grow 6 plants and possess 1 ounce. But it was kind of a little bit generous on the qualifying conditions insofar as it allowed chronic pain to be a qualifying condition. In the Assembly Health Committee bill, they removed the provisions for patients to grow their own marijuana completely. All marijuana would have to be obtained from alternative treatment centers, these distribution centers, or sort of a large industry, and it also removed chronic pain as a qualifying condition, except in rare instances, in the case of cancer or AIDS. But really, chronic pain, and I mean, one in five patients in the country has some type of chronic pain from a wide variety of diseases and conditions. So it really would disqualify over half the patients who would otherwise qualify in this Assembly Health Committee version.
What a shame. And any indication why the Assembly felt the need to further restrict the bill?
Well, I can't really say. You know, a lot of these, a lot of what comes out is a result of backroom negotiations in the legislature. Like when the Assembly held a public hearing on this bill, nobody really got to see the final version that we were going to be testifying on until we got to the Assembly, until we got to the hearing. And then, even then, we didn't see it. There was no written version available for the people to testify. I mean, I'm talking proponents and opponents. You know, nobody could see it except the legislators. And they told us, you know, what... what the substitute bill was going to be, but they didn't. We didn't have anything to even look at to refer to when we were testifying on it, and even now,
wow.
You know, we're hearing from certain legislators that they're working on a compromise between the Senate and the Assembly, but you know, we don't know what's in that compromise. You know, chronic pain could be added, chronic pain could be excluded. You know, and so we just don't know. Why, you know, I mean, people keep saying, well, you know, we don't want to have the problems that are in California, you know, but really California is, to my way of thinking, it's way ahead of the game. I mean, they're the leader in this issue, and we should be looking to California. It's really the federal government's problem with problems with the way California is enacting its laws that's causing the problems in California. It's not the fact that patients have access to marijuana. I think that the other thing in California was that, you know, in California's law says that, patients can have marijuana for any condition that a doctor thinks it's appropriate for. You know, there are not these delineated conditions. So patients in California get it for anxiety disorder and post-traumatic stress disorder, for basically anything that it might help. And, you know, other states, the state in New Jersey looks at that and says, oh, this is outrageous. We could never allow this for anxiety disorder and, you know, attention deficit disorder. And they look at some of the excesses, perhaps, of California, and they don't look at the way the program is running well in 13 states, and another 13 or 14 states are considering, medical marijuana laws, and I think we're going to wind up, well, at least I hope we don't wind up with a very restrictive bill.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame. You start off with it was already the most conservative bill in the country, and to have to compromise further and make it more conservative, what a shame. You know, as we just had a new election, and your Democratic governor, John Corzine, lost his election, Republican Chris Christie. How does this affect your plans for trying to get medical marijuana passed?
Well, we have to do it quickly. Christie said that he's coming on board on the 19th of January, and the 20th of January. Anyway, you know, he said that basically he favors medical marijuana, but he thinks that the bill is not restrictive enough. So, you know, I'm really not sure where Christie stands on this. At least Governor Corzine said that he supported the original bill, the Senate version of the bill, and he would sign it if it got to his desk. So, you know, we still have about a week left for Governor Corzine to sign this bill. I mean, it's an awful lot has to be done in this last week of the 213th legislative session in New Jersey. You know, the bill has to pass the Assembly, it has to be reconciled with the Senate bill, and it has to go to the governor's desk for signature. So, you know, we hope that it's going to happen by next week, and if not, then the worst that can happen is it's going to be reintroduced into the next legislative session and, you know, with a more conservative governor.
Yeah. So our listeners out there, if they're in the Garden State or just want to weigh, is it too late for them to be able to do anything to affect this process?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. As a matter of fact, just before I called here, I contacted 120 New Jersey state legislators to let them know what CMMNJ's stance on this issue was. You know, we still have time to make our feelings known about what constitutes a good bill, what constitutes the kind of bill that would protect the most amount of patients in New Jersey. And, you know, I encourage all our supporters to reach out to the legislators in New Jersey right now to let them know that, basically the Senate version of the bill is a much better version of the bill. And, you know, that they should pass it, they should support medical marijuana, and they should support medical marijuana access to the most amount of patients in New Jersey that is possible. And that you should not try to undo the intent of this legislation by passing an overly restrictive bill.
Yeah, so everybody out there who wants to get involved, check out the web at cmmnj.org, or you can email me at stash@normal.org, and I'll send the link to you. But you can still get involved. You can still call these legislators. And, you know, medical marijuana is not a stubborn issue anymore. People are really behind it. We get the polls rating from 60 to 80% support, depending on where you ask. So there's no reason that this can't be passed. And is that the feeling you get generally from the people of New Jersey, that they're very supportive of this?
Oh, absolutely, Russ. We go to community events, you know, every month of the year. We're out talking about medical marijuana. We're gathering signatures for our website, you know, for our email distribution list. We're distributing literature. In fact, that Normal booklet is one of our most popular booklets that we give away. Paul Armentano's Emerging Clinical Applications for Cannabis and Cannabinoids, a review of the recent scientific literature. We've given away hundreds and hundreds of those booklets. And, you know, we just see overwhelming support, even in very conservative and places where we wouldn't even expect it. Like, we went to the League of Municipalities convention in Atlantic City. You know, these were government officials from all over New Jersey who got together in Atlantic City for this big convention where they talk about things that are important to them. And the support that we got there was just heartwarming and just very overwhelming. You know, a lot of the legislators and municipal officials, you know, would come up to us and say, "Oh, are you giving away free samples?" You know, but, you know, it was kind of a tired joke, but some of them were quite serious. You know, they were just very supportive of medical marijuana, and we see that throughout the state wherever we go.
Well, that's great to hear. We're speaking with Ken Wolski, the executive director of the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey, online at cmmnj.org. We're also going to take your calls right after the break here at 347-994-1810. If you've got calls or questions for Ken and medical marijuana in the state of New Jersey, or just questions about medical marijuana or marijuana in general, just give us a call, 347-994-1810. We'll take your call right after this break. Ken, stay on the line with us. We'll be right back, and this will show live the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
This is Normal Show Live.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
Providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
I don't hear what you say. That ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. I don't hear what you
say. Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for making pot brownies? The best destination for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car, whether to grow your own, how precisely to legalize it, or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place. Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana, all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collective wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Hey. Join the conversation now. Call Normal Show Live, 347-994-1810. That's 1-347-994-1810. We're taking your call now.
All right, welcome everybody. 45 after the hour, rounding out our last segment here on our inaugural weekday edition of Normal Show Live. Remember, you can catch us every weekday right here at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time. And I'm rejoined by Ken Wolski from the Coalition for Medical Marijuana in New Jersey. Welcome back, Ken.
Well, thank you, Russ.
Before we went to break, we were talking about the support that you found in the state of New Jersey from people, you know, that you would have least expected as far as medical marijuana support. Now let's take a look at the other side. Looking at your opponents, the people who've been fighting against medical marijuana, What are some of the craziest things you've heard from them during these campaigns?
Well, our opponents are pretty much law enforcement, narcotics officers, and substance abuse treatment program people we found here in New Jersey. So, you know, they just give the standard arguments against marijuana that marijuana as medicine, and that is that it's going to lead to greater teenage use if we permit it to be used medically, and it's not been FDA approved. So those are pretty much the standard arguments against medical marijuana, and you know, we hear it again and again.
It sounds a lot to me like they're starting to rely on this not FDA approved line now that the American Medical Association has endorsed medical marijuana. Do you see that as well?
It's always been one of their arguments against medical marijuana that it has not been proven to be safe. You know, despite its safety record, and despite the fact that nobody's ever died from marijuana, despite the fact that you know, a DEA judge called it the safest therapeutically active substance known to man, apparently if it does not get the FDA imprimatur, then there's still some question about its safety, and despite its 5,000 year record of being used as medicine safely, so.
Let's not forget that the FDA was also the group that approved thalidomide, fen-phen, and Vioxx.
Yeah, that's right. And we think the FDA approval is just both impossible at this point and unnecessary. I mean, it's the whole point of a compassionate use program is to allow for the use of a non-FDA approved substance, and this is what we're trying to enact with this compassionate use program, and it's impossible because the federal government refuses to insist that it remain a Schedule I drug, and as a Schedule I drug, its use is clinically so limited that you just cannot get, it's impossible to get the kind of studies done that would lead to FDA approval. So we consider it both impossible and unnecessary. But
yeah,
it was very
crazy
big
world.
That the AMA came out and changed their stance on medical marijuana, said that it should. They basically recognize that it does have medical value and that it should be its status as a Schedule I drug should be reevaluated. So that was
great
huge.
News.
We think that was
and it's a crazy
world.
A crazy world when doctors and scientists have a harder time getting a hold of marijuana than your average high school kid. So it's a pretty sad state of affairs. We're speaking with Ken Wolski from the Coalition for Medical Marijuana in New Jersey. We're going to go to the phones now at 347-994-1810. And we're joined now by Donald in California, who's got some questions and a statement for us. So, Donald, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay, hello. Donald, what's your question or statement?
Well, what I'm wondering is I read some of these horror stories about the personal vendettas that the police have and, like, our district attorney here in San Diego. And why are they not just being sued? I mean, they understand the loss of money, the cities and the police stations and the police forces. Why are we not just going out and suing these people through the court system?
Hmm.
I mean, they
That's a good question.
They do illegal things. We have very rich people who are enjoying their freedom of medical marijuana. They should be donating to the legal defense. There's a lot of warrantless searches that go on, and confiscation of marijuana, harassment, and nothing.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty that's going on in that situation that we reel into, especially when we start looking down in San Diego with Bonnie Dumanis down there, and in Los Angeles County with District Attorney Cooley as well. And I thank you for your call. I appreciate that very much, Donald. And Ken, I'm wondering if you have an opinion on that. Why, when we see these elected officials going against the will of the people like that, why is it so difficult to try to sue?
Well, I'm not sure why it's difficult to try to sue. I'm really surprised that, you know, a single person can really stand in the way of medical marijuana and medical marijuana access to so many people. You know, to me, that it just seems so unfair and so tragic, and you know that these people should be stopped in some way or another. Whether a lawsuit is the right way, I don't really know, but. But, you know, I mean, I see it again and again that a single person in a situation like you're saying, this Dumanis, the district attorney in San Diego, can really work to prevent access to medical marijuana, safe and legal access, despite a state law in California that authorizes it. You know, it just shocks me that this is allowed to go on.
If you had your way in crafting this medical marijuana bill, and you have somewhat in New Jersey here, what sort of protections would you like to see going forward in a new bill, you know, if you have to do a new bill, or to other reformers out there, what suggestions would you give to them as far as crafting their medical marijuana language?
Well, you know, I think that you have to have home cultivation. You know, to me that's the best way to get marijuana to the people who need it the most. And there's just so many good reasons for it. It takes the federal government out of the equation completely. I mean, they just don't have the resources to go after individual patients the way they can go after the dispensaries and are going after the dispensaries in California, you know, sort of at their whim. So, I would insist on home cultivation. It just empowers the patients so much too, Russ, to mm-hmm. produce their own medicine and use their own medicine and titrate it to control their symptoms safely under medical supervision. And, you know, it really changes the whole focus of the healthcare issue from pharmaceutical industry and the healthcare industry back towards the patient, you know, and that's really where the focus belongs, you know, getting safe and legal access for patients to control their health.
I think there's a therapeutic aspect to cultivating your own cannabis as well. People that are shut in or suffering from severe disabilities or illnesses often don't have a lot of social outlets, and the act of just cultivating their marijuana flowers can be very soothing.
Yes, I've heard that. You know, I've followed the WAM Garden in the Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana in Santa Cruz, and I hear that again and again that they create a therapeutic environment for themselves. You know, the act of growing the garden, the act of tending to it, the act of producing the plants. You know, it's therapy. You know, Voltaire said we should all cultivate our gardens.
Yeah, well put, well put. We're speaking with Ken Wolski from the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey. Please help them out at cmmnj.org. Now, what day is it that Governor Corzine is leaving office?
Well, the new administration gets inaugurated on the 20th, but really the end of the legislative session, I believe, is the 12th. I think that's the last working day, and I think they really start the new session on January 12th. So basically everything's got to be done by that day, by January 12th. And there's going to be one more vote. There's two more voting sessions left between now and then, and one is on January 7th, but we just checked the calendar, and the medical marijuana bill is not up for a vote that day. So the last possible day is January 11th in this legislative session. So, you know, we certainly hope that it's going to be brought up for a vote that day. It's going to be passed in the Assembly, and it's going to be reconciled with the Senate version of the bill, and it's going to be signed by the governor. And I know that's a lot to accomplish, but, you know, we have our hopes up.
Yeah, stranger things have happened. We can get this done. We got 1 week to pass medical marijuana in New Jersey for this go-around. So please, if you're in the Garden State, contact your legislators. You can go to the New Jersey, probably Secretary of State's office to be able to find that sort of information. Do you have listings of their numbers up at CMMNJ?
Yes, we do have a link where they can go and contact their legislator through our CMMNJ. And the... or you can go directly to the New Jersey legislative website, which is www.njleg.state.nj.us. Or if you just do a Google search on NJLEG or legislature, New Jersey legislature, you'll find it easy enough.
That's right. The power of the Google. Ken Wolski, thanks for joining us so much here on our inaugural weekday show here for Normal Show Live. We really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to discuss the issue and some of the problems that we have here in New Jersey. I hoped we'd had a chance to talk about the John Wilson case, but don't know if you have any opportunity to talk about that. We're asking...
Certainly.
John Wilson was a medical marijuana patient who used marijuana to treat his multiple sclerosis, and he went to a jury trial where he faced 20 years in prison. And CMFJ did a series of demonstrations out in front of the courthouse because the judge said he couldn't even tell the jury that he had MS, and that was the only reason he used marijuana. Well, the jury did. They acquitted him of the most serious charge, where he faced 20 years in prison. But he still faces some significant prison time because he was found guilty of two lesser charges. So we're asking our supporters also to ask the Governor Corzine to pardon John Wilson and to write to the judge to ask him to be lenient when he sentences John Wilson.
Absolutely. We covered that John Wilson case over at the Stash blog. Just go over to stash.normal.org, and up in the search in the top right corner, just type in John Wilson, and you can catch up. You'll see pictures of Ken up there as well. You can catch up on the whole case and what's going on out there. It's just, again, another travesty of justice because patients don't have the protection of a medical marijuana law in the state of New Jersey. The idea that this guy would have had to have done decades in prison for trying to treat his condition is just appalling, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Russ. And I want to thank you and Normal so much for your support and all the help you've been to us with, the CapWiz, the ability to just click on our website and go directly to your legislature or directly to a letter to Governor Corzine. So, you've really been a great help to us here in New Jersey, and I just want to acknowledge that.
Oh. Thank you so much, Ken. I appreciate it. Ken Wolski from the Coalition for Medical Marijuana in New Jersey, thanks for joining us here on Normal Show Live. We're going to send you away at this point and wrap up the show. I'm also checking out the chat room right at the moment, which you can log into through live.normal.org. We also have a link to it up at the Fresh Stash. And a question here coming from a reader here wondering, how come they can, why couldn't John Ray Wilson be able to tell folks in court that he had multiple sclerosis? Well, this is Enlightened Mark, by the way, is the handle in the chat room. And I'll just tell you, Mark, the reason why is because marijuana is federally illegal. And so in a lot of what happens is we get the court determining that they cannot use the words medical and marijuana in a sentence together because it would prejudice the jury. Under federal law, there is no such thing as medical marijuana, so why you're using the marijuana is irrelevant to them. They don't really care. So that's part of the problem, and if you try to mention medical marijuana, they'll cite you for contempt of court. So that's what we've seen happening in a lot of these states. This is Normal Show Live. We're wrapping this out. Thanks for joining us on our inaugural show. We'll be back tomorrow.
We love the
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. Good day. And take care of each other, tokers. All right, everybody, welcome to Normal Show Live after the show. This is the little part that's not going out live on the internet, but it's still being recorded for our archived podcast. You can catch our archived podcast by going to stash.normal.org, where you'll always be able to find the latest. I'm going to bring Cannabis Carrie back up onto the line here, see if she's still out there. Carrie, how are things going out there for our first live show?
I'm still here. It seemed like it was about a 15-minute long show. It flew by. This is going to be no problem.
No problem. Yeah, we had a lot of folks calling in. I saw the switchboard lines peaked at about 11 or 12 people calling in.
Yeah, I think people really like to call in and actually listen to the show. They can kind of get a better connection. A couple of people had mentioned about the quality, and I said that we're working on it. We're trying to bump it up a little bit. And they really like listening on the cell phone. Everybody on that called in had something nice to say. Almost every single person had one thing really nice to say. So that was great.
Well, that's fantastic. And as far as the audio quality goes, I want to let folks know you may have gotten spoiled. That's maybe
right.
The situation.
True.
When I'm recording the Normal Daily Audio Stash podcast, we have all day to record it, of course, and have higher audio quality setting. Yeah, exactly. This Blog Talk Radio platform that we're using is kind of a trade-off. It gives us all these technological advantages as far as being able to screen callers and have a live chat and a live switchboard, and the fact that they're going to take this show and automatically archive it, send it up to iTunes, and so on. The trade-off, though, seems to be that we have to use this lower audio quality that's available or that will work with the bandwidth of telephones. I'm still working with the Blog Talk Radio people to get a higher level of quality for the audio, and we will see how that goes. We'll keep you posted on that. So, I think that's everything, Carrie.
I think people will get used to it. You know, I'm a longtime AM radio listener. I work graveyard shift, you know that, and I listen to AM radio all night long, and I think people will just get used to it. I mean, the information is there. And I think that it'll be just fine. Maybe the music. The music might sound not, you know, somehow if we could get the music to sound a little bit better. But we'll see how it goes as we continue on.
Yeah, I also have the option of perhaps loading up the music to the Blog Talk Radio servers and launching it from there. I've had good response with that in the past. I just ran out of time today to get those loaded, so had to play it directly over my line. Also, as we go forward with this and continue these weekday shows, we'll have all the same guests that we've had in the past. Dr. Mitchell join us on Wednesdays. Terry Joyce will be here every other Thursday. Steve Bloom every other Friday. Danny Danko, Dave Bienenstock on the alternate Fridays.
Wow.
Plenty of stuff coming up on Normal Show Live. Going to be a lot of fun. And I won't always have a cold, so that'll be good.
Right. You need to get some sleep to get over that cold. That's the only thing that's going to fix it, Russ. That's possible.
I know. I couldn't even think straight today. I went to bed such as it was at about 5 in the morning. I was I worked all weekend on upgrading the new Stash blog, and so
and it
I had very
great.
Little sleep.
I think if you really advertise on the Stash blog about being able to call in live, particularly for Danny Janko, you know, people would love just to talk to him. I think we'll see a lot more people calling in as this continues on.
All right. Well, Carrie, thanks for joining us again, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
See you tomorrow, Russ.
All right, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody. That's it for Normal Show Live after the show. Thanks for downloading us. Tell all your friends to log on to stash.normal.org and get involved with Normal Show Live. We'll be on the air every Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific time. I'm Radical Russ. Take care of each other, Tokers.